right, you're live on the Arms Room with Glenn.
And John. Woo. But you're not really live because it's the future of the present and the past.
Yeah, all that shit.
Right. Yeah. Pre-recorded show.
Pre-recorded show. Sorry, guys. It's James's fault this time.
That's all right. I'm going on a ski trip.
Gay.
Going to Colorado for the weekend next weekend. So
I suppose.
This is my fault.
We'll allow
That's all right. We'll allow it.
We'll allow it. All right. So thank you to the Air 500 Armor folks for allowing us to broadcast from their studio, their shop. And thank you to all of our patrons for supporting the show and for being a part of what we do. Remember to submit your show ideas, guys. If you're listening to this show and you haven't submitted a show idea, I literally just looked through like three or four more that we're getting. We're doing your show ideas. Almost every show is a show idea from a patron or multiple patrons. So if you have a show idea, I don't care. We'll talk about just about anything based on what you guys want us to talk about. So keep in mind that. Also make sure you're looking at the extra shows. The monthly extra show just dropped last week, which is actually today, which is confusing.
Right.
Make sure that you guys are looking at the blogs and the show reviews and all the stuff that that James is putting up on the Patreon page. If you're missing out, man, you're missing out. You're paying the money. Don't miss out on your opportunity for that. So, yeah. No great new news. Nothing that we know of is happening. Lots of great classes this year for independence training, so make sure you look up those. Do that for sure. Pay attention to that. And other than that, Redwire Gear Moment. Roll.
Oh, God. Blue Loctite is your friend. So I actually had a, I think it was a patron or maybe it was in the alumni group. Someone posted this up. They had some screw issues on a holster. And the immediate response from pretty much everyone was, blue Loctite all the screws on your holsters. If it's stuff that's mounted to a gun and you can put blue Loctite on the threads, put blue Loctite on the threads.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to go wrong. Don't use red. Red bad. Blue good. So blue Loctite is your friend.
It is.
And that's what I have for you this week.
All right. And I will say, from a training perspective, we have seen countless lights, optics, sling mounts, all kinds of stuff.
Holsters.
Fall off of guns. Holsters come apart, all because no one blue Loctited the screws. If it's a screw that might vibrate loose, blue Loctite it, man.
Yep.
Blue Loctite's like a few bucks. Get it? I carry it around with me in my range bag.
So, and I prefer the chapstick one. It's like a tube. It's not the liquid stuff. It's like a, it's like chapstick.
But
it's
really?
Loctite. So you can take the screw and.
No shit.
Yeah.
I don't think I've even seen that.
Oh, dude, I've got a tube that I've had this tube for years.
Really?
Because you don't need a little, you only need a little bit and you just kind of rub it on it.
Much.
Just rub the tip of the screw on it, screw it in.
Done. So just the tip.
Blue Loctite.
Just the tip right on there. Not all of it. I promise. It's just going to be just the tip.
True story.
All right. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by RedwireGear.com. I do have to say.
Uh-oh.
I'm about to promote a coffee company. Hold on, boys. Hold on. It's actually even a veteran-owned coffee.
I know.
But it's not called anything too gay. All right. So I have a friend who still does active contracting. In fact, he's on the ground in Iraq right now, and he's fed me some very interesting intel that I can't really talk about right now. But the situation is both better and worse than most people think it is. But he spent the better part of a decade in Iraq working high-level contracts and really interesting stuff. He also owns a great company called
Red Clover Coffee.
Oh, you guys can't see that. That's right. There's no video today. Red Clover Coffee. And I like his coffee because they have a bourbon whiskey coffee that is phenomenal. But they've got a lot of really cool coffees. Here's what's cool about their coffee brand is that they actually do a lot of work through charities and donate a ton of money for a variety of different charities. So I'm drinking it right now. It's good stuff, man. I mean, I drink it. And they have the K-Cups. I didn't really drink a lot of it as much as I am now because they didn't used to have the K-Cups and I was given a Keurig. And when I was initially given a Keurig, I'm like, please, I am not a hipster, right? But then I started using the Keurig and I was like, this shit is awesome because you can do so much cool stuff with the Keurig. And so now I'm using that, and Red Clover just released their K-Cups, so now you can get Red Clover in K-Cups. And
so you don't actually need the K-Cup by the reusable filter.
Yes, yes, yes. You can
cut
also
down
do that
on garbage.
Yeah, yeah. I also have the reusable filter as
buy
well.
Buy three or four of those, then that way you can pre-pack them.
Yeah.
Just a public PSA there.
Yeah, lazy is my PSA. Yeah. If you're lazy, the regular pre-made K-Cups are good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. But yeah, there's my shameless promotion of Red Clover. All right, right on to the topic of this week's show, which is going to be recognizing modern threats and possible terrorism. This is something that has actually come about from John and I's conversations that are innumerable over the years about recognizing things like IEDs and improvised, not just improvised explosives, but improvised terrorism threats.
Yeah.
Things like localized EMPs, you know, comms, communication scrambling, and just straight up fucking terrorism at people pulling out an AK-47 in the middle of a mall and shooting people.
Well, right? And then we had our good friend and student Glenn on to talk about
the digital stuff. Yeah, yeah, the cyber
and
stuff.
And
that's a real threat.
That's
man.
Like
and,
a
and,
real, real
and that's what he
real
works
thing.
In is fighting yeah. against big level shit. He's not fighting against a hacker trying to steal your credit card. He's fighting against real shit. And if you haven't listened to that episode, I highly recommend you go back and look at it and watch that episode because it's really good. I think it was called Cybersecurity or something like that.
Well, and to slightly dig into that a little bit, the military is starting to look at ways to recruit high-level cyber people that aren't what you would normally view as a soldier or a member of the military, much the same way they do with the President's Own, the Marine Corps Band. It's the President's Own. The majority of those people are not actual members of the military.
Right.
They are recruited, and there's a special circumstance where they are professional musicians that serve in the military but did not go through the basic training and all. I mean, you know, they did not do the same things that – everyone else did. So the military is starting to take this very seriously. Mm-hmm. And they should have 15 years ago so that they weren't behind the power curve. But the cyber threat is a big thing, huge emerging threat, period, on the global scale. So that's something to really think about, something to really to secure your own stuff, really start digging into that and get as much information from good, reliable sources as you can, because that's a real thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. Like it happens every day.
And I think based on it kind of in that vein and a lot of what Glenn was talking about on that previous show, it's been a few months, I think, but
it's been about a year.
Yeah, actually probably has been about a year. But one of the things to think about when you're talking about the digital world is like having alternate means of communication, because it's not that hard to shut the internet down. It's not that hard to shut down social media. It's not that hard to shut down Wi-Fi. It's not that hard to shut down that kind of stuff. So you need alternate means of communication, radios and things like that, you know. Even like for people, like it's something I have to think about, right? Like my kids, you know, live with their mom most of the time right now, and it's like, when I'm dealing with that, how would I get in touch with my kids, right? A lot of my family lives out of state. You know, I have no family really that I am constantly in communication with that live in the state. Everyone lives out of state. So it's like I can talk to people in other states, you know, bouncing off the right repeaters and or at least get close enough if I'm moving towards them and they're moving towards me. They can start to bounce off these repeaters and – I mean, gee, only if we taught a class that taught people how to do that, right? Front through with TED. Definitely look for more of those classes coming up in this next year, because those have been really popular for us and they're very, very good information. But just kind of something to think about from the idea of like having alternate means of communication if something does happen where it is some kind of terrorism threat or it is some kind of, you know, big, large-scale attack. You know, people think about like the Red Dawn type situation. It's like, okay, what if that happens? You think they're going to let us all be talking on our cell phones still? No way, man. They're either going to be scrambled by the enemy or attacked or...
Step one is disrupt communications.
Yeah, and then our government's going to be shutting it down, taking the bandwidth so that they can utilize it because they've got a serious problem to handle right here. Yep. So it's like one way or another, you need alternate means of communication. So I would say for me, alternate means of communication, you know, recognizing modern threats, that's going to be part of it. Even if I'm running the Boston Marathon and something explodes, I might not be able to just whip out my cell phone and make a phone call. one of our instructors, Chris, was actually there when it happened. And one of the very first things they did was shut those cell phones down. So it's like one of those things to think about if you're in this situation where you do end up with a modern threat. Understand, communication is going to be shut down. And your ability to now communicate with friends and family or tell people you're okay or tell people there's a problem or whatever it may be are going to be greatly, greatly reduced. So for me, when I think about recognizing modern threats and dealing with current possible terrorism, communication is a big deal. How am I going to find my people? And if I have to coordinate something, like I got to call a couple guys and be like, hey, this is happening and we need to consolidate our resources somewhere, I can't just call them on the cell phone. You know, having a radio network amongst friends and cohorts is going to be important, I think. And even those things are still going to be limited because they are still relying on cell phone towers and signals and all that. But those are less likely to be initially attacked than the others. And if power gets cut off, those things, you know, have batteries that will last for, you know, a couple of days as opposed to shutting off within 24 hours. So something to think about. Now, from a recognizing modern threats perspective, and this is something that I definitely want to, you know, get your opinion on, John. And we've talked very, very briefly about this on other shows in the past, but something that always concerns me isn't necessarily seeing a person threat, right? We've talked about that so much on the show and in our training. Like, how do I recognize someone who doesn't belong, someone who's looking weird? Something you profile the shit out of people, right?
Oh, yeah.
This person doesn't belong here. Pay attention to them. They're wearing weird clothes. It's
not like the other.
It's a freaking Sesame Street song, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just one of these things, not like the other. What am I looking for here? Someone who's not dressed right. Someone who's carrying weird equipment. Someone who's carrying big bags. You know, someone who's acting odd, checking over their shoulder, looking around, making quick, brief phone calls multiple times. Like, all those kinds of things are the things that I'm looking for, right? As well as so many other things. What doesn't belong? You know what doesn't belong.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. But something that always concerns me is shit that explodes, right? Because I can take a thing and I can put it in a backpack and I can drop a backpack off anywhere, man. Or I can toss this thing in a fucking garbage can in the middle of a mall, right? I can walk by in a McDonald's bag. I can walk into the mall with a McDonald's bag and no one's necessarily going to look twice at me and unless I otherwise look like I don't belong. And then I can just throw this garbage in the garbage can and then the garbage can explodes, right? And becomes its own useful piece of equipment. And so it's like so also with, you know, a backpack or something. I walk in, I casually set my backpack down, have a conversation with someone and just kind of walk off like, oh shit, I forgot my backpack. And then I get to myself, you know, my safe distance before, you know, it gets detonated or whatever. And like, these are serious concerns for me as someone who doesn't necessarily look like that. And for a lot of veterans out there, they're like, yeah, but we know what to look for in IEDs. Like,
no, you don't.
No, you don't. Because not
every. You for sure don't.
Yeah. So let's ask the EOD guy how many times everybody calls for IEDs. Like, that's an IED. That's an IED. That's an IED. Because no one really knew what to look for. Everything. And in reality, everything is a possible IED. Your can is an IED. The freaking Altoids can is an IED. The piece of garbage on the side of the road is an IED. That dead cow carcass is an IED. That kid standing on the side of the road passing out candy.
Wasn't a cow.
It's a freaking IED.
It was a donkey.
Donkeys are IEDs.
Like that was a real thing. Like there
everything
was
is a possible IED. That little depression in the middle of the road, or even worse, no visible trace.
Sicario.
Buried.
Sicario
but not
too.
But not even Sicario. I'm just talking about like no visible trace, like driving over like a pressure plate kind of thing, where with no real visible trace.
Oh, like that secondary that I found that time that nobody knew existed, and there were
because
I don't know
why would
how
you
many,
see it?
How many trained eyes there were on that?
Because why would you see it, right? Because you're looking for little things, looking for disruption in the earth or whatever, right? Like you're looking for things that the average person's not looking for. Sicario is a perfect example. Sicario 2. Where those guys just go into the supermarket.
Walk into a supermarket.
And start detonating themselves, just blowing up all kinds of innocent people. And it's like, terrorism to me, that's where terrorism comes from, right? Yeah, I'm not going to lay out terrorism tactics here, but let's just think about it for a second. If you wanted to terrorize an area, I'm not going to try to blow up military installations. That's probably not going to work, you know? That's a low chance of success. I'm not going to try to go blow up a law enforcement, you know, station. I'm not going to go blow up a bunch of first responders.
I'm driving to
That's
Walmart.
Not terrifying. Yeah, I'm going to drive a VBIED through the front doors of the freaking Walmart. I'm going to go into a packed movie theater, fuck shooting the place up. You go in there with a large scale explosive and just blow up a movie theater.
It doesn't have to be large. That's the thing.
By blowing up a movie theater, I don't mean blowing up the entire building. Right, I mean blowing up a crowd of people.
That's the idea of terror.
Terror.
Right? So you take a single guy or a small, something the size of a soda can.
Something that's difficult to detect.
Right. Difficult to detect, easy to make, relatively high yield, right? And we won't get into that. But there's different levels there, right? Like tannerite. Tannerite's fairly effective. It's got its own issues. Ammonium nitrate, HMTD. TATP, these are all things that if you Google enough and you're smart enough, you can go and figure out how to make these things yourself. You literally go into Walmart and buy everything you need, right? Some are safer, some are higher yield, some are lower yield. There's kind of this balance there. But if you want to learn more about that, go find a class that'll teach you all about that. I will not. But to really push that terror, I mean, look at Israel's a good example. Right, and they've become so used to this that it's not really a terror thing for them anymore as a whole. Mm-hmm. Right, people individually are still scared, but as a nation, they're used to these terrorist attacks. They're used to these rocketings. They're used to these suicide bombers. Here in the States, we have no fucking concept what that's like. I mean, just imagine that you woke up on Saturday morning. And you went to your local park, and it's you and your wife and your kids. And you're doing your normal thing. Maybe you're at a softball game or a soccer game or whatever, right? God, what's that movie? The Kingdom, right? They're at a fucking
baseball game.
Right? Boom, right? And not even a big boom. Maybe it only hurts one or two people. But then next Saturday when there's another soccer game, what are you thinking about the whole time?
Yeah.
You're probably not going to go to
that. That's the idea of terror.
That's what terror is.
It's disrupting civilization.
Right? So my wife and I have had this discussion at length and in depth. Do you really want to terrorize people? It's not hard. A couple of small things here, a couple of small things there, very specific locations. No, you don't even need real explosives to do this. Right, you just need to make people think that it could be an explosive. I could shut down the Arizona freeway system in a matter of hours, easily, and never harm a single human being. Because I understand what needs to be done and how to do it effectively. Right, but to kind of come full circle with this, the thing with IEDs is it's literally improvised, right? Mm-hmm. You know, most of your homemade explosives or HME are not as high yield as military grade or construction grade stuff. Some of that stuff you can get. It's available on the black market. Like there's places to get these things, right? But it's more difficult. It costs more money. But making your own stuff, you get a lower yield. But the simple fact is you're literally only limited by your imagination. Like literally only limited by your imagination. Timothy McVeigh is a great example of this, right? That guy did terrible things. Mm. Thankfully, he wasn't as smart as he may have thought he was, because the thing he did could have been way worse had he done one simple thing that I won't talk about.
Yeah.
Right? One simple thing, and that building would have been gone. It would have leveled that entire building.
He had a pretty significant amount of explosives in that vehicle.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He just didn't know how to yield the yield.
It's even more simple than that. Mm. But yeah, that's why only half the building fell down. Had he done one very simple thing, that entire building would have gone away. Right? So the IED threat in America, although it exists on a very different plane. That's why we have local bomb squads, right? Because there's always something. A few years ago here, it was at Glendale, we had the flashlight bomb thing, right? The big 6-volt battery flashlight bombs. A couple of guys got hurt. That all got put away fairly quickly. But almost daily, Arizona DPS bomb squad's responding to something. Maricopa County bomb squad's responding to something. Pinal County bomb squad's responding to something. Right? And the majority of what is being seen is spousal disagreements. Right? And, you know, I'm trying to kill my ex-wife with trying to rig her car up to explode, or I'm trying to protect my pot fields by rigging up these small explosives, or, you know, things like that. So the threat in America for that exists on a very different plane now. Mm-hmm. Based on current events, who knows when that may or may not change. And there have been legit IED threats from terrorist organizations in the U.S. You know, there was one a few years ago in Times Square. Right? That was a... that was a problem, right? And there have been other things here and there where these things have been stopped, or they've been caught at the last minute, or... Well, anyhow. So that threat doesn't exist on the same plane here that it does in other parts of the world.
Right.
Not to say that it won't come here on that plane. So the big thing with that, even still, is just paying attention to your surroundings. You know, being smart about where you're going, where you're standing, how you're gathering. Like, you just have to be smart, and you learn your environment, right? Like, everybody goes to Walmart. People of Walmart's a real thing, mm-hmm. right? But when you're at Walmart, if you're the kind of person that pays attention to things, if you look close enough, you'll find somebody that really sticks out in your mind. I had a guy a couple of weeks ago now, was doing a little bit of last-minute Christmas shopping. Me and my wife and my kids. And I went and I bought a thing and I took it out to my truck. And as I was buying this thing, I walked past a guy and I was like, well, that's weird. Had a backpack about yay long laying in a shopping cart from a well-known company. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, I know exactly what's in that bag. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, cool, whatever. It's Arizona. I'm not going to judge you for doing that. So I go do my thing. I get out to my truck. Sitting there on my tailgate having a cigarette. I see a guy get out of his car, gets about halfway across the parking lot, stops, does the look, turns around, goes back to his car, rustles around in his car for a minute or two, starts walking back into the store doing one of these. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. So I go in through the opposite exit, circle around the store, get my wife and my kids. I'm like, hey, we got to fucking go. It's time to leave right now. Mm-hmm. And my wife's like, why? I was like, because I said it's time to leave. And she's like, okay, cool. Right, so it's learning to pay attention to things that you may not necessarily pay attention to. And I mean, we could go on and on and on and on and on about the IED threat, but right now it doesn't exist on the plane that it could exist on. But it could become a thing, especially now with what's going on in the current political, geopolitical landscape.
You also run into the problem of it can get, not only can it get worse, or not even can it start to happen, I mean, but it can get worse as soon as our government gets tied up doing other things.
Right.
You know, we end up in a big war again. It's a lot easier during a big war for our government to get sidetracked, paying attention to big wars and putting people on the ground in big wars. It's a lot easier for things to slip through the cracks because a lot of their resources get more tied up.
To a degree,
especially
yes.
In the beginning when yeah. They're lower on personnel, lower on funding, all this stuff hasn't been approved yet, so right. To speak, right? We ramp back up to, you know, late 2000s time where everything was well-staffed and there was shitloads of money and there was tons of freaking resources and assets available. Okay, different story, but as of right now, we've cut all that back a lot. And now if we suddenly start a big fight tomorrow, let's say, we're not going to have access to the same assets, and people are going to be overwhelmed initially until we ramp up all those efforts and get more people into those agencies and get more people into that work again, whether it's contracted or employed or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think for most people, recognizing modern threats begins with believing that they'll happen. And it's just like you going up and recognizing that and telling your wife, okay, it's time to leave. Did anything happen? Obviously not.
No.
Or we'd have heard about it on the news.
Yeah.
But it's about being willing to actually do something about it and being willing to believe it's real. Like, it's real that someone's going to walk into a store with a bomb or a gun or a knife or whatever and start hurting people, whether that's terrorism, whether it's violent crime, whether it's a crazy person, whatever it may be. This is a modern threat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about some Al-Qaeda guy or ISIS dude coming over here and starting a problem. Yeah, yes, that can be a form of terrorism. But most of the time when we think terrorist, that's what we think. But understand all these crazy active shooters and mass casualty incident stuff. That's terrorism, man.
Well, let's look at there's a litany of domestic terrorism groups that act out in different ways.
Sure.
Right? Whether they're eco-terrorists, whether they're extremists, like whatever it is, these are groups that operate within the U.S. that I didn't really know that much about until my wife started doing this master's course. Dude, there's some weird shit that happens in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But we don't hear about a lot of it because it gets stopped preemptively, or it's so heavily monitored that they can't really get away with things, right?
I think that the biggest issue we're still going to face is the same thing we face in training, which is getting people to believe that something is real.
How do you not believe it's real?
They don't believe it's possible.
There's a shooting. I'm not going to say. They
don't believe it's possible.
I'm not going to say a mass shooting or anything. There is a shooting almost daily.
But they don't believe it's going to happen to them. This won't happen to me because I live in X small town. Because
that's exactly what everybody in
I know
what West
anywhere
West
anywhere,
whatever Texas
wherever it was yeah. wherever those it dudes, was those whatever people, the last thing happened, it's the same thing that those people said. Oh, it won't happen to me.
It
oh,
won't
this
happen,
won't happen
here.
To me. Oh, this won't happen here. It's the exact same thing that they've
and all, you know what?
Always said.
They're 100% right until it does.
Until it does. And so believing that it's real and starting to prepare for realistic things, like we on the Facebook alumni page a couple weeks ago, we talked about I did a video on the risk reality matrix and how to appropriately train or practice or prepare for the most realistic threats. They may not be the scariest threats, or they may not even be the highest risk threats, but they're the most realistic threats, right? And so when we look at things like this, like these are realistic threats, how are we preparing for them? Look, you're not going to draw your freaking pistol and solve this problem 100% of the time. Maybe 3% of the time, 2% of the time.
Maybe.
It might be a situation where it's appropriate. But other than that, what are the other things you're going to do to prepare for those? Sometimes those things to prepare for is to have a conversation with your wife, like you, like I know you and your wife have had, and say, hey, when I say it's time to go, or if you say it's time to go, it's time to go. We stop what we're doing and we come back at another time, right? But it's time to go now based on what somebody sees or what someone's witnessed or a feeling that you get based on your realistic real world experience. You get a feeling that says, don't go here, don't be here, don't do that thing. Then we don't do that and we leave. And they don't sit there and go, well, hon, oh, you're just being paranoid. We're not going to have that conversation now. We'll have the conversation later, but not now, right? And sometimes it's uncomfortable to go to the people that we care about or they're going to be in our life and have those kinds of conversations. So again, for me, recognizing modern threats, dealing with possible terrorism has a lot more to do with how that one, we accept that it's real.
Yes.
And it can happen to us. And we also start putting forth some realistic plans to deal with it based on realistic skill sets. Great, you're going to draw your pistol and go to work. What about your kids? What are they going to do? What about your little kids?
So I'm with my little, and scream.
I'm with my little twins, right? They're young still. And I just pull my gun and go to work. Yeah, I know what to do. They don't.
Yeah, they still struggle with simple directions.
Yeah, my conversations with them are still very, very basic and fundamental on this topic. So, like, having a realistic plan is more important to this than being able, in my opinion, to recognize an improvised explosive device and then do something about it. You know what I mean? Yes, those are all important. But me just believing that improvised explosive devices are real, and I do believe that they are real, and I know that it's possible to happen to me. We all live in a relatively large metropolitan area. Even if I lived in a small town, it can happen to me, not just from some Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Islamic terrorist, but also from just a local crazy guy that hates the fact that this building was built because they tore down the old horse barn that he grew up near. Whatever, man. You just don't know why that person is going to do this thing.
Yep.
If I see something that makes me nervous, God damn it, I'm going to do something about it.
Yep.
I'm not just going to go like, oh, that's odd that a backpack is sitting there. Oh, that's odd that someone threw something away in the garbage can and then double-checked to make sure it went in the garbage can. Or, oh, that's odd that that guy dumped that in the garbage can and then looked over his shoulder, looked around, and then walked away quickly. Gee, that's odd. These are all odd things. And to recognize those odd things and say, I think the first step to dealing with any of this, believing that it can happen to you.
And understanding what's out there. I think that that's a big thing is people have blinders on.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, well, I have privacy settings on my Facebook account, or I have a 37-digit password for my fucking bank account that I regularly access from the open network at Starbucks.
Right.
Are you fucking retarded? Like, stop. Like, understand what's out there. Right? Identity theft used to be like a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, this was not a common thing. It was huge when it happened. Now, daily. Mm-hmm. Right? Credit cards stolen daily. Mm-hmm. I'm very careful with my bank accounts. Right? I'm very careful with my credit cards and my debit cards. I have had my card numbers hacked or stolen no less than a half dozen times.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
and, in the past decade. You know? And it's because I understand that it can happen and I pay attention to what's happening. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I noticed that 37-cent charge that I'm like, why the fuck did I swipe my card for 37 cents? And most because people don't.
Yep. And, but it does matter.
It does. Mm-hmm. So the emerging threat thing is you have to pay attention to, you have to pay a certain level of attention to the geopolitical landscape. And you just have to get used to paying attention to your own environment because those are you'll know it. Like, intuition, the sixth sense, it's unquantifiable, but it is 100% real, right? Like, it's undeniable. It's ingrained in our DNA, in our psyche, and that's why the human species has survived for however long we've been around, right? Because at one point, someone said, if I go out after dark without fire, something will eat me, mm-hmm. right? Regardless of what that something is, I will step on a rock and I will fall down and I will break my neck. Well, let's develop fire. Okay, cool. Now I have fire. Now I can go out at night and do some stuff. But I know that if I go by this cave at night, even with my fire, that thing that lives in there is going to eat me. Right? And then you develop those senses of, okay, somebody's watching me. Why is this guy following me through the mall? I've been in four different stores, looked at seven different things. Every time I've turned, he's been there. Right, and the little dude in the back of your mind, I'm like, hey, bro, hey,
pay attention to that.
Pay attention, stupid. Right, that little guy is real in everybody, and he's more attuned in some than others, but he's there for everybody. Mm-hmm. That's why when we initially go outside in the dark, even as a grown man that's fully capable of fighting almost anything except a demon or a fucking saber-toothed tiger, right? When I first step outside in the dark, that I get that mm-hmm. instant sense of okay.
Something out here could eat me.
There's something out here, maybe. Mm. So I need to pay more attention.
So out of anything, you know, and maybe we started the show and people thought, oh, cool, they're going to tell us how to find bombs. Like, no.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to tell you how to not be in situations where you got to find bombs. And I think, you know, as we got to kind of wrap things up here, as we think of like, and I've talked about this on another show recently where oftentimes companies will ask us, hey, come in and teach us how to handle, you know, active shooters. And I go, oh, we don't do that.
Right.
What we do is we come in and teach you how to not have active shooters.
There you go.
How to set yourself up in a situation where active shooters aren't going to be a big threat to you.
Or you're a harder target.
No, they're not something that you really are wanting to have to work or worry about. Forget active shooters. They're incredibly in small percentage. Let's talk again. Let's look at the risk reality matrix, number one. But number two, let's also consider how do we prevent active shooters. If I get hit by an IED because I didn't see it, because I either wasn't paying attention or it was so well hidden that I wasn't gonna see it.
That's the thing.
Right?
Right? Like there's
it's a possible certain, I'm not gonna see it.
There's a certain level. I don't care how good you are, how badass you are. There's a dude out there that's better and more badass than you, and well, you will not see that attack.
And so then there's the question where you have to ask yourself, okay, so let's say that happens, and I'm alive, all right? We're going to make an assumption here. What now?
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, but what do I know about kill capabilities? What do I know about secondary? What do I know about? And these are all things, by the way, you can research all this shit. Oh, yeah. This shit's public information.
At this point, there is a ton of open source info out there.
And what can I do medically? And what if I'm hurt? What if someone else is hurt?
Right.
You know, how can I help them? How can I get out of there? What am I looking for? Do I understand that IEDs potentially, even in a public setting, might be the initiation of another assault, you know, mm-hmm. or a larger attack? Like, these are all things that I have to that I have to think about and consider. Yep. So if that's what we're concerned about, if we're concerned about these terrorism things, okay, it's possible I'm just eating popcorn and so into this movie that I don't see the guy walk into the freaking, you know, public shooting or public theater. I mean, to start shooting. I might just not see that. Well, it's because people can't be switched on all the time. And people are moving around going to the bathroom and all that.
You
go
to the bathroom, you got a kid
that's crying.
And it's
dark and the light is bright. I'm not really attuned to see what's going on in the shadows. Yeah. And all of a sudden, this dude opens fire and I don't see it beforehand. What am I going to do now? And the people around me, how are they trained to react or told to react at the very least? Right? Like, these are the things that people have to start considering when we're dealing with modernized threats as opposed to what the specific modernized threat is. Because when I say modern threat, that means a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so when I'm dealing with a modernized threat or terrorism in general, how am I going to handle myself on the chance I didn't see it coming and couldn't remove myself? And how are the people around me going to react? I think that has probably a bigger effect on people's survival than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that in mind, guys, if you have any questions or comments about this, of course, you guys know how to get a hold of us. info@trainingaz.com. Hit us with a message on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure, by the way, you follow us on Instagram and Facebook as The Arms Room, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Make sure you guys check out the other shows. Next week, super excited for the show we have. We got two guests coming in, Brent and Chris. Brent's been on the show before. Chris has not, but both are longtime friends of ours. One is a retired police officer who currently works with law enforcement. The other is a current police officer who has had a very wide variety of experiences in his career. And we're going to be talking about the collapse of law enforcement in America.
Oh, shit, son.
Nice.
And it's going to be a really, really exciting conversation. I've got several good things. They've kind of already been prepped about different concepts that we're going to be talking about. It's going to be a really, really good show. Yeah, we're going to hit them with everything from the thin blue line to warrior training for cops to, you know, why some cops are capable of being violent and others aren't.
Nice.
And why the public perception of cops is what it is. It's going to be a really good show. So looking forward to that next week. Until then, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.